Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Friday, January 7th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260. Hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. As the Oilers continue to be off, they won't be back in action until Monday. On the pod today, though, I will be joined by Tyler Yaremchuk from Daily Faceoff and the Nation Network, as we'll talk all things Edmonton Oilers. Have some fun with that to wrap up the last episode of the week. Thank you for all the support always for the downloads. It's been rocking this week, so thank you. Thank you once again. Give you some news from the Edmonton Oilers ahead of Tyler Yaremchuk, as RNH won't be on the ice for another week or so as he continues with a lower body injury. It's a bruised foot for Willie Lagesson, but he could skate this weekend. He did not skate today after blocking that shot in their last game. Chris Russell is about a week away, but he was on the ice skating with Slater Cuckoo. Kyler Yamamoto was taken off the ice today after a positive rapid test this morning. He will. He did get a PCR, so we'll wait results for tomorrow. It's expected to have McDavid, Barry, and Rhyme on the ice for practice on Sunday if they're feeling healthy and good to go. So they are scheduled to be available for Monday's game. And Dylan Holloway skated with the Edmonton Oilers. I know a lot of people got excited, but Dave Tippett did say in his post-practice presser that he will probably head down to Baco to play about 8 to 10 games. He hasn't played in a while. It's his first pro look. So yeah, it's going to take him a bit, but I do expect him to get a call up here, especially if this team keeps reeling. They will find a way to get him on the ice 100%, because by all accounts, he looked really good at practice. I was watching the All-Stream earlier, and Tommy Cazzola, who was there, said this kid's got the NHL speed, the NHL skating. So he's there, and he looks like he's got a little bit of jam to his game, a skill, all of it. And I've heard Craig Button for multiple months talk about Dylan Holloway and say he's ready. So we'll see what happens there. The Lions today, don't read too much into them because there's a lot of players missing, but it was Fogle, Draisaitl, Holloway, Hyman, McLeod, Puljujärvi, Benson, Shore, Cassian, Perlini, Sevier, Turris. And once again, Yamamoto was taken off the ice. The defenseman today at practice, Nurse, Bouchard, Key, CC, Cuckoo, Russell, and of course, Lagesson, nursing that bruised foot, and Barry still in protocol. That is all your Edmonton Oilers news for today. They have an optional tomorrow and back at it full go on Sunday. And hopefully we have a game, because the Senators two games in Vancouver and Winnipeg have been postponed this weekend due to capacity limits. So hopefully this game is still a go for Monday between the Ottawa Senators and the Edmonton Oilers. Sucks not seeing the team play, but this might be the best thing for this team. We'll see. Might be the worst thing for this team. Who the hell knows? But to rest, reset, have some practice time might do wonders for the Edmonton Oilers. And you know what? It's kind of refreshing today hearing Zach Cassian speak to them. I mean, he's just no excuses. He said every team's gone through injuries and COVID. This is a team that went on a heater, he said, and now we're struggling mightily. But he said no excuses. They just got to be better. They're making too many mistakes. The special teams has gone spiraling downwards. So he didn't sugarcoat it. Now, he wasn't calling anyone out or anything, but he was honest, and I like. And it's, you need more players to be that way when you're struggling. Just say, hey, we need to be better. And I guess what I like was that there wasn't a lot of excuses. I'll leave it at that. So go watch it. You can find it at EdmontonOilers.com. But let's bring in my good buddy. So now welcome in Tyler Yaremchuk from the Nation Network and Daily Faceoff. You can connect with him on Twitter at Tyler Yaremchuk. Ty, my friend, how you been, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm doing fantastic, Hernan. I'm happy to hear you're doing better and you had a good holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. No complaints here outside of COVID, but through that and back to normal. We got to talk about this hockey team, Tyler. I mean, not a lot of good right now regarding the Edmonton Oilers. You know, through my quarantine, I've been sitting here and I'm just thinking, like, I can't believe we're in this position again. I saw a quote from you an audio piece from you on Twitter today that you're talking about Ken Holland, how the same problems that were there when he took over are still here, Tyler. Can you just give us a little bit more into that? Because I think we all know what Holland did this summer. And I know there's people that loved what he did, people that hate what he did, people that are kind of like, okay with some and all that. Like, where are you with Kenny Holland? And I need you to be completely honest with me. Mm-hmm. How many of the moves this offseason did you actually like that Ken Holland made?
Well, so where I was going with the quote was, you know, when Ken Holland took over, the biggest needs on this team were depth scoring, left defense, and between the pipes. And right now, the Oilers are going into a deadline where they need to find depth scoring, left defense, and goaltending, right? Like, it's Groundhog Day, Hernan. We've been doing radio for however long. Like, it's the same wish list every year. And this offseason, he had gobs of money to go out and spend to fix that issue. And what did he do? He went and gave $4.5 million to Tyson Barrie. He spent $4.5 million on a defenseman who can't defend very well. And you know what?
Yeah.
I loved the Hyman deal. I think the Hyman deal is great. I liked the deal to re-sign Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I was fine with that. He brought in Warren Fogle, who's supposed to help the depth scoring. Well, he's not really helping the depth scoring. And he also gave up Ethan Bear, who would probably be helping them defend a little bit better right now. And again, like, I didn't like the Keith deal. I still don't like it. He paid too much for a player who isn't a $5.5 million defenseman anymore. And he wasted a summer where he had a ton of cap space. And yes, he took some big risks, but some of those risks now clearly aren't paying off. And it's got the Oilers stuck in the same spot they've been for too long. It's a lineup that has great potential, but also these great gaping holes.
Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't like the term on Hyman and the no trades, but the way he plays, I mean, like, he's grown on me immensely. And I think Cody Ceci, I still don't like that term, Tyler, but I think he's been better than I thought he would. But everything else you said, I totally agree with you. Like, Duncan Keith, terrible trade. Warren Fogle, God bless his heart, Tyler, because he works his butt off, but he doesn't do much outside of work hard.
He's every bottom six replacement we've tried to bring in. Like, I think there is more offensive upside, and he's young too, right? Like, he's 25 years old. You would assume there's maybe a little bit more growing there, and he can get going. But not only did they give up Ethan Bear for him, they signed him 3 years, $2.75 million, Hernan. That's a decent chunk of change for a guy who's not probably going to come close to scoring you 20 goals this year. And, you know, like, the Hyman deal, I don't love the term either, but at the end of the day, you got the guy, and he's an impact player. And at $5.5 million, it's a little bit cheaper than I maybe would have expected for a guy who was one of the best free agents on the market. Even CeCe, like, if you had to tack on the extra year at 3.25 to get that AAV down $500,000 or $600,000, then honestly, I think that's okay, because you're trying to save money. You're trying to, you know, get guys for as good of a bargain as you can. But then he goes and spends $10 million on Keith and Barrie, who, like, Keith and Barrie would be an average or a decent third pairing, but you spent $10 million on them. And that's what blows my mind with this. And listen, this isn't me doing revisionist history or hindsight or anything like that. I said I didn't like the Keith deal from the start. I said I didn't like the Barrie deal from the start. And Ken Holland made his bed now with this roster, because we're sitting here, we're talking about a deadline where they need to get stuff done. Where's his money? He doesn't have any. He's got to move on from Koskinen before he does anything else.
And that's, I'm kind of with you. I don't think anyone really liked the Keith deal. I mean, a lot of people kept bringing up his pedigree and his championships and what he's going to bring to the room. Fair enough. And Duncan Keith hasn't been a train wreck. I mean, but for what you're paying him, it's ridiculous, and it's hurting this team, like you mentioned. And I remember you were still at 1260. I was working with Maddie in August, and I told Maddie, and I said, the Oilers are going to live and die with this roster this year. And I still feel the same way, Tyler, because I don't see how the Oilers go out and bring in a depth forward, a better defenseman, and a goalie.
They're going to have to, like, Ken Holland has a choice to make here. And I think the choice is pretty clear. Do you want to go all in at this year's deadline And when I say all in, I'm not talking about next year's second and Dmitry Samarakov. I'm talking about the next two first round picks. I'm talking about some prospects that are going to make you grit your teeth and go, damn it, we don't want to give that guy up, but we're doing it, because you can't send the message to Connor McDavid that you're okay with the way this team is. So listen, it's going to suck. It might sting to sit through a couple of drafts and cover a couple of drafts where the Oilers aren't picking in the first three rounds, but I just don't see how they have another choice right now. I think you need to have both first round picks firmly on the table at this trade deadline. And you know what? Maybe you got to overpay for a loss in Krause because Arizona's taken back Mikko Koskinen, but you overpay for Lawson Krause and maybe you give up the first because Arizona's taken Mikko Koskinen. And then you say, you know what, with that $4.5 million, we're going to go ahead, we're going to spin that around and we're going to go bring in another big piece. That's the money we need to get Ben Chiarot on our left side. That's the money we need to go swing a deal with whoever you need, but you need to swing this trade deadline because you cannot sit on your hands and go, well, we're not going to give up our first just to make sure we get in the playoffs when you have McDavid and Drysdale. This team showed at the beginning of the year when they're hot, when they're rolling, this current roster showed it when they're hot, when they're rolling.
Yeah,
they are very hard to beat. They were winning games where they were playing with their B level and they were finding ways to squeak out wins. So I would take that if I'm Holland, and I know I'm rambling for a long time here, Hernan.
No. Yeah,
I would take that as a sign. If I'm Ken Holland, I'd say, okay, this imperfect team found a way to go 9-1 at some point, even though they weren't playing great. If I add to them, if I fill in some of these holes, even if it's not all of them, then this team could go on a run in the playoffs. Because when you have McDavid or Drysdale, you really do have to believe that anything's possible.
It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good. You'll want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By like week three, you might be thinking, this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And that's interesting what you say, because you can also look at it. Kenny Holland's looking, he built this team, Tyler. This is his team now. And you know how GMs are in this league. They're never going to admit they're wrong, or they're always going to come up with some sort of an excuse to defend what they did to the team. So for me, I look at Kenny Holland, and he's probably looking at it and thinking the same thing as you. This team was 10-1, 16-5 at one point. Like, I'm okay with not doing anything, and because he really can't. And you mentioned this year's first, next year's first. I'll say this, Tyler. If you're sending those picks and quality prospects, it better be an upgrade on Ben Chiarot. And I know you're just throwing out a name in there,
in
Lausanne and Krause. Now, will those guys help right now? Sure. But I don't know where you go, because I think Kenny Holland's going to be patient, and I don't think you can with this team. And I'm with you. This is a team that cannot afford to miss the playoffs. And I'm not saying they're going to go out there and win the Stanley Cup, but you got to win a round also, Tyler. So do you think, I just feel, and I know fans probably don't want to hear this, but I just feel Kenny Holland's going to be very patient.
And that's always been his MO, but he can't be patient. He's got to be creative. Like, I think back, think of the Barkley Goodrow deal with the Lightning, right? So the Lightning, they give up a first round pick, but they get Goodrow and a third rounder. So we're sitting there and we're going, okay, massive overpay for Goodrow. He actually ends up being a really important part of a third line that helped them win cups, right? But at the time, we're going massive overpay for Goodrow, but they got that third rounder back. So if you're Edmonton and you go to the Arizona Coyotes and you say, hey, our first round pick's on the table for Lawson Krause, and we'll give you that first, because I don't think any other teams are giving up a first for Lawson Krause. But if you go to them and you say, hey, we'll give you a first for Krause, you need to take Koskinen and you need to give us your third rounder, or you need to give us one of your four or five second rounders, which they actually have, which is insane.
Yeah.
Right. Like, get a little bit something back. And then maybe you can sit there and go, okay, giving up the first was fine. Maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's like the first and, I don't know, throw a B level prospect in there, and you're giving up, and they're taking Koskinen, they're giving you Krause and a late second rounder. And then you can sit there and you go, okay, sucks we gave up our first, but you know what? Now we got the second, and now we got $3 more million in cap space. What can this second and next year's second, what can that go get us now? If we package it with a Samarakov, does that get us an A-level rental at the deadline? I just think Ken Holland's got to get creative. The problem is, Hernan, I'm not confident that Ken Holland has that ability.
No, and let's just let's look at the, I mean, this summer he overpaid for a lot. And Oilers in general haven't won a trade for a while. I mean, yeah. You have to go back to probably Patty Maroon, Tyler. So yeah, I mean, just look at the Chicago deal. When Chicago had no leverage, it's Kenny Holland got taken like a sucker on that one.
Yeah.
And we're all here hoping, and it's weird because you want Duncan Keith to play well because you want the Oilers to do well. But at the same time, you're also kind of looking like, man, we really need that money next year. Right. So it's definitely interesting when it comes to what Kenny Holland can do. Where are you on the fire the coach wagon here, Tyler?
I'm on it. Like, I think right now there's no trades to be made. There's not deals happening in the NHL. That's the way the league kind of is in January, right? So there's not a deal to be made, but you clearly need to spark this team because you can't just sit on your hands and watch them win two games over 40 days and be like, yeah, well, you know, they'll figure it out themselves. I think you need a spark. And Dave Tippett's in the last year of his contract, and you have Jay Woodcroft and Glenn Gulletson sitting in your organization. I wouldn't go out and fire Tippett and bring in Claude Julien on a 3-year deal. I don't think to make that decision right now. But the fact is, we see it all the time. Coaching changes can really spark teams. And Jay Woodcroft's in the minors. He's been percolating as kind of this next wave of an NHL head coach. He's comfortable with the guys that are on this team because he coached them when he was an assistant or an associate on McClellan's staff. He's comfortable with the guys who have been in Bakersfield because he's been around them for the last few seasons. I think firing Tippett, bringing up Woodcroft, it wouldn't be like a seismic change to the way the Oilers operate, but it might just give them a little bit of kick in the behind and say, listen, enough is enough. Start winning.
Yeah, because I think if there's a change coming at that spot, Tyler, I think it's going to be within. I think Gulletson or Play Forget the Gig or Woodcroft. I don't see them bringing in, like you said, a big name and signing him to a long deal because this team misses the playoffs. I don't know if anyone in management will be back because it'd be truly, truly, devastating for this organization to miss the playoffs. When you're looking at this team, Tyler, you watch every game. I mean, the obvious is the goaltending. Can you, outside of the goaltending, and we'll get to that, but outside of the goaltending, what do you think is the biggest issue right now in this run of 3 wins since December 1st?
It's the give a crap meter that's just non-existent. I think we've even talked about this together before, Hernan. I don't know if it was with you or Connor last time I went on this rant, but like, you watch a game last night between Minnesota and Boston, and Trent Frederick runs Kaprizov, and all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And then it broke loose again later. Watch the game between Pittsburgh and St. Louis. Mikola gets into the crease a little bit too much, and Pittsburgh's on him, and Crosby's fighting him. And there's this fight. There's this kind of like, we're all in this together. We're going to stand up for each other. The Oilers just don't have that. We never really see these crazy scrums. We never see a big hit to give the team some energy. And that's really disappointing for me. I'd like to see that a little bit more from this group, because again, if you're not going to play a little bit angry and irritated and quite frankly pissed off when you've lost this many games and your team's just out of it on so many nights, then that shows me you're just disinterested and maybe you're not in it for the right reasons. So that's a major concern for me with this team.
Yeah. And today Cassian spoke and he said, hey, listen, no excuses. We have to be better. And it was kind of refreshing to hear. But then I was listening to Tommy Gazzola on the oil stream with Dusty, and he was talking about how it's their first practice since coming back and they looked sluggish. They looked like there just wasn't a lot of effort there. And for me, practice like you play is a big thing. And I know sometimes, Tyler, I mean, we've all played sports. Sometimes you don't have it in practice or you're going to have an off day. We get that it's practice, but when it's a constant, and I don't know if it is, I haven't been down to practice a lot this year, but like, it's your first practice. Now you're missing McDavid and Barry and Yamamoto got pulled off. I get it. But while you're out there, why not practice like you play, Tyler? Is that a big issue for you?
Yeah. I mean, again, if you're not committed when you're in practice to figuring this out and setting a tone after this rough of a stretch, then I have serious questions about the character in the room. And that's not like singling anyone out in person, but like, I don't know. I just feel like they haven't been getting mad enough that they're losing games, and you get the odd sulk on the bench or whatever, but like, I don't know. It's just one of those things that like, I'd love to see them just get mad that they're losing for once.
Tyler, do you have any this goaltending stuff for me, it's getting like, it's just to the point where it's like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Because everybody, you know how the inbox is at 1260, you know how Twitter is, everybody's like Price or Flurry. I just don't think either is realistic at this time right now.
And Gabe, the other thing, I was listening to Gregor's show, and him and Strudwick are talking about the package they would put together for Carey Price. And they're talking about, you know, first round pick, Broberg's probably involved in it. And I'm like, am I going insane? Have I not been watching the same NHL? Hernan, I said this with Maddie today. Let me read you Carey Price's save percentages in the last four regular seasons.
Yeah.
We got 901, 909, 918, and 900 even. So in the last four regular seasons, he's been above average once at 918, and that's barely above average. And he's been below average three times. Why are we talking about paying, even if Montreal keeps half, Carey Price, 34 years old, $5 million, keeping half? I don't know if I even touch that if they're not making me give anything up. Like, I don't know if I take that for free, because yes, he had the Cinderella run. The playoffs were great. Yeah. He's been super average in the regular season for almost half a decade. He's not the solution. He can't be the solution for Edmonton, especially if you're giving up a first round pick to get the guy.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I look at that contract. I look at his stats, and yes, he was amazing in the playoffs, but that doesn't mean he's going to come in and do the same thing. So I'm with you, man. I don't think, I mean, I'd be more keen on Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't see that happening either.
Fleury's not going anywhere unless he decides he wants to, because yeah. Chicago basically has that as part of the deal. Like, yeah, I don't think Fleury wants to come here.
Can Kenny Holland make any acquisition here of a goaltender to improve? Or do you think it's just they're hoping Mike Smith gets hot or Stuart Skinner?
I don't know why Stuart Skinner's not here. And I have a feeling it might happen after the Ottawa game. I think they might just be letting Skinner play a little bit. And maybe through that break, they'll keep Skinner playing, but he's got to be up here. He's got the best save percentage of the three. He's stolen the most games of the three this year. I know Smith's been hurt, but like being healthy is a part of it. I don't know why Stuart Skinner's not here playing more. It's mind blowing to me. Like the day after that whole outburst between Tippett and Koskinen in the media, which it was an unnecessary distraction, even if you're on one side or the other. It was unnecessary. You didn't need it. I would have had Koskinen on waivers. I would have had Skinner on the first plane back up. And I would have been saying to the team, we don't throw each other under the bus. And I get it. Koskinen was fair in saying what he did. What Dave Tippett should have never said that in the media. You win as a team, you lose as a team. But I would have used that as an opportunity to go to the guys in the room. And I don't care if I'm scapegoating Koskinen. It's his last year here. He's a backup goalie. I don't care if I'm scapegoating him. I would have said, we don't do that. You don't go talk to the media. You don't throw your teammates under the bus. We win as a team. We lose as a team. Stuart Skinner's here the rest of the year. And I don't know why they didn't do that.
And I think Skinner's down there just because the Oilers schedule right now is up in the air after Ottawa, right, Tyler? We have no idea when they're going to play again.
Yeah.
So it's like, so let's just keep them playing and then we'll call them up eventually. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. A loss to Ottawa, and there's changes coming before the end of January, Tyler, for you.
Yeah, if there's a loss to Ottawa again, maybe it doesn't end up being the coaching change, because I think Ken Holland has maybe made up his mind on that one. But I think it would be the Skinner for Koskinen trade, and maybe you get something else along the lines of like Broberg coming back up to the NHL or something like that. Some sort of swap to give this team a spark and some energy, because right now they don't have a lot of spark and they don't have a lot of energy.
Dylan Holloway was at practice today. He got thrown on the line with Draisaitl. Don't read it. Anything into that, but by all accounts, he looked fast. His skating, I guess, is just NHL ready, according to a lot of people that watched him today. This is a guy that a lot of people are high on, Tyler. And Dave Tippett did say, though, that he's probably going to have to spend 8-10 games down in Baco. How much of an impact can this guy make with the Oilers eventually when they do call him up, do you think?
Remember the year they called up Yamamoto at Christmas and he ended up rattling off 27 points in 28 games, right? I think Holloway can have a similar sort of impact on this team. It's not great to be sitting here and crossing your fingers hoping a former first round pick can burst onto the scene in the NHL, but he's got the physical tools, he skates well, and yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what he would look like on this team, whether it's in a third line role or a second line role or whatever. You know, let's say hypothetically that by the end of next week he's down in Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. You know, 8 games, that would be Bakersfield plays a pretty condensed schedule in that run. Maybe early mid-February, we see Dylan Holloway up in Edmonton.
Yeah, and I mean, why not? I mean, no one really outside of the top two dogs is really producing at a level where you're like, okay, like there's no room for young guys. So I think a lot of guys are going to be looking over their shoulder. For you, are you okay with Ryan McLeod being the third line center for the rest of the year, Tyler?
Oh, absolutely. I think what he's done in that spot is really impressive. He doesn't kill penalties or anything like that, but you have enough guys in that bottom six, Sevier, Ryan, Shore. Like, I would make Sevier, Ryan, Shore your fourth line, and you got three penalty killers right there. And then I'd run a second line of Benson, McLeod, and Cassian, and throw a veteran presence next to two guys who have a little bit of chemistry. I think Tyler Benson, like, I'm not low tide level of in love with Tyler Benson, because you know LT loves him. You know LT loves him. Yeah. But I think he's actually been playing the best hockey of his career right now, and I wouldn't mind seeing that rewarded with some consistent games next to McLeod. So I'd go McLeod, Benson, Cassian on Monday.
Yeah, he's definitely showing a lot more jam. He's making a lot more plays. I'm with you. I think McLeod and Benson are guys that have to play. I'd like to see Perlini a little bit more. Like, when he gets when he gets that shot off, Tyler, like, there's something there. Like, he's got a heavy shot. But with Dylan Holloway coming, and I think Colton Sevier has kind of earned himself to be in the top 12 for this team. I think he's done really good things for the Oilers. So back to Dylan Holloway, I guess, when he does come back, is it just third line right now, or are you looking top six for Dylan Holloway?
It's a really good question. Obviously, health is a big factor in all of that, right? If Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is back, that really changes the way things work. And you never know with COVID. In an ideal...
But Tyler, would you move Nuge to third line center if Holloway's in your top six?
Oh, so let's say everyone's healthy here. Let's do the exercise. Yeah. So your top line, if you're going to run the three centers, I think you got to go Fogel, McDavid, Hyman, Hyman. Or no, actually, no, I'd go Fogel, McDavid, Puljujarvi. Okay. That'd be my top line. My second line would be Draisaitl, Yamamoto, and I guess Hyman.
Hyman. Okay.
And then your third line would be Holloway, Nuge, and
Cassian.
Or you put McLeod on the wing.
And see, that's a very good third line, though. And now we don't know a lot about Holloway, but we're all expecting him to kind of come in and make some sort of an impact.
Or if you like Draisaitl and Yamamoto, because they've been playing well lately, put Holloway there, right? That speed on that line could be good. And then you go Hyman, Nugent, Hopkins, McLeod as a third line. Didn't Hyman and Nuge kind of look good together when they played a little bit when they were putting...
And you can always swap Fogel and Hyman, right? Like, it's not...
Yeah, you could.
And then your fourth line, I think the guys that need to be on the fourth line, you probably have Sevier, Shore, and Derek Ryan. I'm not big on Derek Ryan, but I just think because he kills penalties,
I'm not big on Devin Shore either. I don't know how much he necessarily does. But
well, I guess you need McLeod in there too, though, because you're not taking him out.
Yeah, but if you have McLeod on the third, so if you have McLeod on your third line with Nuge and either Hyman or Fogel, then your fourth line you put Ryan, Sevier, and Cassian. That could be a good fourth line.
Yeah, so that means Shore, Turris, Perlini, Benson are all, which is fine. I mean, you're not gonna lose sleep over that, are you? So, that's interesting. Yeah, we'll see. It sucks, Tyler, because they only get one game. I do think this break is gonna help the Oilers just kind of reset, refresh. Do you agree with that, or do you want to see them playing here to try to get out of this kind of rut they're in?
Well, I'm an impatient guy, so I want them to start playing more.
I'm with
you. I want to get some more games going. But yeah, I think the break will be good. And the other thing too, that this always kind of happens, but we lose sight of it when we're in the moment. Hernan, they're not gonna reach the halfway point till like February 2nd.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
We're almost a month away from the season only being half over. Think of everything we've gone through so far. Yeah. And we're not even close to halfway yet.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. Like when you put it that way, like there is a lot of time for this team to turn it around.
Yeah.
Tons. And they're, I don't think they're the team that was 10-1. I don't think they're the team that's only won 3-14. I think they're somewhere in between. And if Kenny Holland can add, then awesome. But we'll wait and see. Tyler, you're a betting man. I only two games on tap tonight. Carolina hosts Calgary and St. Louis hosts Washington. Give my listeners maybe a bet, prop bet, whatever. What are you going with tonight? You're usually pretty good. You make a ton of money off this stuff.
Yeah, so far this year, every day I have a play over at Daily Faceoff. You can read about it or watch it on our daily live show. So far this year, I'm 71-49-3, and I'm plus 14.9 units. So, You know, if you were to bet, hypothetically, if you were to bet $100 on every play I recommended this year, you'd be up about, you know, $1,500 right around there. yeah, just throwing that number out there. But I got the under in Calgary, Carolina tonight. It's set at 6. And I have Pavel Buchnevich to pick up an assist for the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay, man. I just wrote that down. I'm going to roll with that tonight, Tyler, man, like always, you always bring the good stuff. Love chatting orders with you. Hopefully this team can turn it around for the sake of the fans and we can get a nice little playoff run here by the Edmonton Oilers. I'm sure we'll chat before then, but
absolutely.
For now, enjoy the game Monday. Stay safe, stay warm, my friend, and thank you for your time.
You too. Thanks for having me, Hernan.
It's Tyler Yaremchuk joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Find all his work on Twitter at Tyler Yaremchuk. Does great work there with Daily Faceoff, The Nation Network. Always brings it. He also writes really good stuff regarding the Edmonton Oilers and the NHL. So make sure to give him a follow on the good old Twitter machine. And yeah, interesting there conversation about lines and what to do to fix this team. And is Kenny Holland going to remain patient? I think that's the big question. We're all kind of waiting here to see. And I mean, one game, I know Ottawa's other games have been postponed in Vancouver and Winnipeg. We still don't know nothing yet. It's Friday if this game is going to go on Monday, but hopefully so. And hopefully they'll just can pick up a win here. And I'm intrigued by Dylan Holloway. I really want to see this kid. I'll be tracking him once he does go down to Baco, see how he does there. But again, I guess temper your expectations. He is a young guy playing his first year of pro hockey. So peaks and valleys, right? But by all accounts, this kid's got something there. He looks like he's ready to make an impact in the NHL. And we'll see where they slot him in the Oilers lineup when he eventually does get called up. And if this team continues to struggle, I think we'll see him sooner rather than later. If the team kind of turns it around, maybe they'll slow play him in. But interesting times here in Edmonton. It's a freezing this weekend here. It is just miserable out there right now. But for this weekend, make sure to stay safe, stay warm, and we'll chat again on Monday. And hopefully we're talking and teeing up Oilers and Senators. It's a late one. It's an 8 o'clock start, and by all accounts everybody will be back in the lineup. But I told you what was going on earlier today with the Edmonton Oilers. RNH won't be on the ice for another week or so. Lagesson could skate this weekend. He sat out after blocking that shot. Chris Russell is about a week away. He did skate today. And Yamamoto was taken off the ice after a positive rapid test this morning. So that's what we saw. Lines, I mean, there's no need to really, because you didn't have McDavid. You didn't have a lot of the players. So it's an optional tomorrow for the Edmonton Oilers. Then a full go on Sunday and then game day on Monday. Then they'll be off for quite a while as COVID capacity restrictions and all that is impacting the schedule right now. But thank you for the download this week. Hasn't been the most positive podcast this week, but we got to call it how it is, and we got to break it down and we got to talk about it. It's not good times for the Edmonton Oilers. Hopefully they can turn it around and you know, hold on to that playoff spot. LA and Winnipeg both lost the last night, which is awesome for Oilers fans, but they're hanging on by a thread. So hopefully they can find a spark here and get their season turned around. Like always, download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. You want to connect with me, hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man. For the Locked On Oilers podcast and my producer Juanito, I am Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. We'll chat Monday.